This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And a happy good morning and Saturday morning to you, Bob. Thanks for joining us on The Gardening Show this week.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, like I said, I'm trying to get back into the swing of radio. I've been on vacation for a week, so let's see if I remember how these things work. Our phone lines are open, as you just heard. We are live today, and it's 368-9372, and we're going to be on Facebook Live as soon as I press the right button here. So, and you do have some show and tell later today, I see. So welcome, and good morning.
And good morning, and I can see you got a little sun.
Oh,
lately.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah, well, that'll happen, I guess.
Yeah.
Vacation. I use that term loosely. I was at home doing chores every single day. And well, out in the yard, obviously.
To a lot of us, that is a vacation.
Yeah, finally. I got a chance to do some things that were on my to-do list, my honey-do list.
So today I'm going to talk about bulbs. Bulbs have a long and interesting history, and most of the bulbs I'm going to talk about are all what we call perennial. That means you're going to plant them once, and they're going to come back year after year. And they're going to multiply also. I'm going to stall here for a bit for pictures to come up, because I want to show some of them.
Oh, you're going to show right away? Yeah. Okay, well, here we go.
And, you know, it's one of the easiest plants and most inexpensive plants that you'll ever plant. You can get bulbs for as little as 50 cents a piece. You know, you can't really find any other perennial for 50 cents a piece. Something that's going to last for a lot of years. Daffodils being the number one, they're going to outlast you even.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they can last hundreds of years.
Whoa.
A tulip, maybe you'll get 25, 30 years out of it. That's going to be a lot of our lifetimes. Then there's crocus. I mentioned tulips. I'm going to also talk about and show a one called cilia. It's Siberian squill. It's a really lovely one. There's hyacinths. Gosh, there's a lot of different bulbs. Some of them, the deer and the rabbits and the woodchucks love. So I'm going to warn you about them. I will mention them. Some of them are going to deter all those animals.
Those wascally rabbits.
Yeah, yeah. But some of them, like the daffodil, are going to help keep the deer and the woodchucks and rabbits away. And same with hyacinth. Hyacinth usually is a short-lived bulb, though. Well worth it because they're highly scented. You may only get 2 or 3 or 5 years out of it, but well worth it. And that, you know, at 50 cents to a dollar a piece, well worth it. And I'm going to show you a couple real easy ways to plant. It looks like we got a picture
there. There's your close up, Bob.
So
we're on Facebook Live, by the way. So facebook.com/WESB1075. Join us there. And here we go. What do you got?
I know some people shy away from planting bulbs because it does mean crawling around and digging in the soil. So I'm going to show you an easier way. And this is with a drill and an auger.
Oh, look at that. You got the power tools out.
Yeah, and you can purchase this auger at a lot of different hardware stores or through Amazon or, you know, wherever you deal with. And it's really a godsend for anybody planting a lot of bulbs. When I was out at Pitt, I had to plant like 2,000 bulbs a year.
Woo!
So by doing it the old-fashioned way, digging a hole, you know, really put a hurt on my body. When they did come out with these, I was one of the first to get one several years ago. And so
worth its weight in gold to you, probably.
It sure is. And now I own several of them. And most of them, you'll see, are about 2 to 3 inches wide. And that's all the wider the hole you need for 90% of all the bulbs. So let me demonstrate it a little bit if I can here.
Right.
Basically, all you're going to do is put it against the ground.
Oh.
And then pull the trigger. You can use any battery operated or electric drill. You just put it against there.
That's just a regular drill bit size thing.
And it's going to drill the hole. Now, if for some reason it gets stuck on a rock, all you do is reverse the drill, and it'll pull it back out. And then you can start to re-drill. And again, if it gets stuck, you can just reverse the drill, and it comes back out easily. It may be a benefit the faster you run your drill. You know, like this one here has two speeds, a one and a two. So I would really recommend putting it up on the two, the higher speed, because the faster you drill, without pressing real hard, just press easy.
Yeah, let the tool do the work, right?
Yeah, let the tool do the work, and it breaks up the soil much better. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you can use these even to till up a small bed by just drilling a lot of holes all around. That makes it nice to pull some weeds like dandelion. You can put it right in the center of the dandelion and drill, and it'll bring the whole root right up, and then you can discard it.
I never even thought of that.
It's brilliant. Real handy tool, very inexpensive, and like most garden tools, if you buy a good one, it's going to last you a lifetime, and probably you're going to be able to hand it down for another lifetime.
Do you ever have to sharpen that?
No, never.
Yeah?
Never. And it's planted thousands and thousands of bulbs.
Wow. And that's with hitting rocks and everything?
Oh, yeah, with hitting rocks. Big rocks, small rocks, all kinds of rocks, yep. And even lending it out to neighbors and friends, and so they could plant their bulbs. So
see, that's a heavy duty one. I didn't have luck because I bought a chintzy little thinner blade on it, or corkscrew, whatever you call that little
auger,
right? I was getting that.
There's nothing wrong with those cheaper ones.
Oh,
either.
Sure, there is. It didn't work for me.
Oh, it didn't.
Well, it would. The didn't do well with the rocks.
Okay, with the rocks. Yeah. It's going to be difficult whether you do it by hand or with an auger, a bulb planting auger.
I could just see how thicker that metal is on that.
It is, yeah. And also a good one will have extension. I can put another foot long extension on this, so I don't have to bend down at all.
Wow. Okay. And what's that? Remember what that runs?
This one here was $75.
Yeah,
but you can buy them for $20.
Well,
a cheaper one. You know, and
buyer beware. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I got the $20 one.
That was $75 20 years ago.
That's a very handy thing, and it'll last a lifetime.
I don't know. They may be cheaper now. They may be more expensive. I really don't know. This one here was a brand new invention at that time, so I paid a bigger price for it probably. But bulbs are so easy and inexpensive that basically you dig or drill a hole about 4 to 6 inches deep, and drop the bulb in there. Try to make sure that the pointy end is facing towards the sun. Now, if it doesn't, most bulbs do have the capability, as their roots come out, they will turn themselves
Yeah, but why make it hard for them, right?
Yeah. So try to drop it so it fits just right. That's why the augers are nice. They drill a hole just big enough so that when you do drop the bulb, it can't roll over. It usually just slips in the hole the right way up. And let me show a bulb even. This is a daffodil bulb. They're usually quite large.
Wow. Looks like a Christmas tree ornament.
Yeah. Also, with planting a bulb, when you pull it out of the package, the first thing I always do is give them a good hard squeeze. And if it's hard, you know, because you will get bad bulbs, that can't be helped. So if it's nice and hard and doesn't squish, then it's a good bulb, then drop it in the hole. If it's squishy or a real dark color, real dark brown, this is all right, then it's fine. But if it's squishy, then toss that one away and get another one. And you will get a bad bulb once in a while. Don't be discouraged with that. That's just going to happen. So that's a daffodil bulb. I want to show you a tulip bulb. That's probably one of the most popular. And
this is a good time of year to plant these?
Yeah.
This is like the time of year, or can you do it like anytime?
Anytime up until you can't stand it anymore.
Okay.
Really, they recommend you wait till after a frost. Now, most of us gardeners don't want to wait that long.
Right.
You can start planting them now, and you can plant them all the way up till the ground freezes and you can't dig anymore.
Okay.
And I've planted both. I've planted them even in the spring, and I've planted them in January. And they were all successful, equally successful.
Okay.
So that's another reason why they're just so neat as a perennial, because they're so forgiving. But I got in my hand a tulip bulb. And you will see, for a reason I'm going to explain later, that the tip kind of curves a bit on the very top, curves inward. And I'll explain why now. A lot of times we can put bulbs in a pot, plant them all in a pot, and then after 6-8 weeks outside, they start to grow. We can bring them inside and have a nice flowering display for Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Real nice to do.
To be in front of a window for sunlight?
Yeah. The more sun, the quicker they bloom and the shorter they bloom. With a little bit of shade, and this counts even for indoors or outdoors, most bulbs will grow in partial shade. And the more closer we get to partial shade, the longer the bloom will last.
Okay.
So keep that in mind, too, that everyone tries to plant them in full sun, and that's fine. You get a nice big explosion and bright colors. But if you do plant them under a tree, under a maple tree, little partial shade, they will still bloom well, and they will last a little bit longer, too. You can get 3, 4, 5 weeks out of a bloom of a bulb.
Nice.
So the tulip bulb. And so one of the things, if you are going to plant them in a pot, and I know this is going to be real hard to see, but that tip is kind of curving and going in that way.
Okay.
So if I'm planting them in a pot, I can plant them right towards the edge of the pot, with this point going in towards the center of the pot.
That makes sense, because it gives us room to grow, right? Or to expand.
So I can plant them all around the outside of the pot.
Nice.
And they can be touching even in a pot. Then I can plant another row of them in the center of that circle. We can fill up the whole area of that pot. You can put like an 8-inch pot. You could put over a dozen bulbs in an 8-inch pot that can be really crowded. Outdoors, I don't recommend that. You know, try to keep them 3-4 inches apart so that they can have room to multiply. But in your pot, you want a nice full display. So plant them almost to where they're touching. Then I can cover them with soil. And if I want, I could do another layer of a smaller bulb, like...
I was going to say, is this only for the tulips?
Yeah, tulips and daffodils should go on the bottom of the pot, the bigger bulbs. And then we can go to a smaller bulb to plant after we've covered the top of the tulips. Now, we've only got a few inches left there that we can apply soil to, but there's still room enough to plant smaller bulbs like this cilia or Siberian squill. See, it's a much smaller.
Like an acorn-sized almost.
It's real common that I didn't bring, but crocus makes a good one. It only has to be an inch deep in the pot. Outdoors, about the size of a big marble.
There you go.
Yeah. So then I can put that right on top of the tulips, cover it all with soil, water it in real well, leave it outdoors for 8 to 10 weeks or a little longer. It's got to go through that cold period to give the bulb a signal that it's almost time for me to start growing and producing a flower. As long as it's cold, it won't. Now, you can also, instead of putting them outdoors, if you have room in your refrigerator, you can put the pot right in the back of your refrigerator where it's nice and cold in the 30s temperature. And that will also initiate that flowering. So that when it finally breaks out of the soil, take it out of the refrigerator or out of the backyard or your back porch, wherever it gets very cold, even freezing temperature, and then put it in a nice warm place in your house near a window or right in a window, and it'll continue to grow and it will bloom. Now, you really don't need to add any fertilizer that first year. All the fertilizer, all the food it needs has already been stored in the bulb.
Oh, neat.
So if you want to continue on for the next year, and I have grown bulbs, mostly daffodil, in encilia, in pots for 3 or 4 years straight. Now, you will have to, after they've bloomed and they're starting to die back, you'll have to fertilize them so that they can build up their strength for next year so they have a nice, good flower again the very next year. So that's important. The first year, though, you don't need to fertilize, and it's really recommended you don't fertilize them.
And, well, like we mentioned on the show before, earlier in the season, you said if you're going to use potting soil, that usually includes all the nutrients that you need anyway.
Yeah. And that's a good idea, too, to use potting soil. If you're doing them in a pot, don't use your garden soil,
mm-hmm.
because that can harbor a lot of diseases and fungus and insects, and we don't want that in our house. So, ante up and buy that nice bag potting soil.
Okay, great. We'll talk more about this after we hear a word from Worth W. Smith. I'm sure you can get a lot of these things that we're talking about today there.
You betcha.
All right, so we'll be right back with more Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And we'll maybe take your phone calls if you'd like.
Yeah.
Hey, give us a call.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. They're fully stocked with quality Allegheny wood pellets available by the bag or pallet, as well as bagged rice and nut coal. They also have a full line of stovepipe in stock, single wall in black and galvanized, plus B-vent double and triple wall. And now in stock, Empire natural gas heaters. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And just like that, we return to the Gardening Show right here on B107.5. I'm Igor. He's Bob.
Yep.
And our phone lines are open at 814-368-9372. And we are on Facebook Live today with our show and tell. So join us there, facebook.com/WESB107.5. And you can comment on there if you have a question for Bob.
Also, on the bulb package, whether you get it in a nice, neat box or just in a bag, there'll always be a label there. And a lot of them will tell you how deep to plant them and how far apart. And you can go by those directions if you want. But I normally just drill all my holes about 4 to 6 inches deep. The bulbs will accept all that. I place them the distance I want them. You know, they may recommend that you plant 6 tulip bulbs in 1 square foot. You can put them closer or you can put them farther apart. It all depends on what you really want. And they'll also give good information about whether animals like the deer like them or dislike them. So keep all that in mind. And if you are going to plant a bulb like the tulip that the deer love, especially as they first start showing color, that flower is full of sugar. So I really don't blame all the animals for biting off that flower top, because they are very sweet. You can plant some hyacinths in with your tulips or daffodils in with your tulips. Daffodils are very distasteful and even poisonous. They won't kill the deer, but they will upset their stomach.
Give them a sour stomach.
Yeah, it gives them a real bad heartburn.
Ooh.
So they learn right away not to monkey with them. Now, all bets are off with those babies. The fawns and the young rabbits, you know, they're just like children. They try to taste everything, even if it tastes bad. But this will be very helpful if you plant some daffodils with your tulips. Your chances of getting flowers and keeping the flowers are much, much better.
Now, that raises an interesting question about being, you know, delicious for certain animals. I'm a dog person, so if we learned about this wonderful product, the bitter like syrup, like that you could smear on your table leg so they don't chew when you have a puppy, you know, and it's real bitter to them. Is there any kind of trick to spray some kind of thing on your vegetation outside?
Yeah, there's hundreds of them.
Good. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Just makes it taste bad for animals.
Yeah, makes it taste bad or smell bad, either one. One of them is the daffodil bulb. It has a scent.
Cool.
They smell even better than us that deters them. Onions and garlic.
Ah, yeah.
They really dislike that a lot. But there are products like that's called Deer Off or Deer Away that will affect both deer and woodchucks and squirrels. Some people are very successful with mothballs. I've done that in the past, and that does work a bit. Coyote urine.
Ooh.
A lot of people.
You have to deal with the smell, right? Or
well, you know, if you're planting your bulbs out away from the house, it's okay.
That's a good point.
Usually, that coyote urine isn't real strong.
Just enough for the animals.
The first day, it probably will, but the animals have much better sense of smell than we do.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. And same with the deer off. It's really a rotten egg smell. And that first day, we may smell it, but then it dissipates. But the animals will continue to smell it. But any of those products, if we get a hard rain, it can wash away that scent. So then we have to reapply. And that, to some of us, that's not a big deal either. But to me, I like to just use a lot of daffodils.
Do it naturally, right?
Yeah, do it naturally. Mm-hmm. And because I just love the look of daffodils. And again, because I'm going to plant daffodils once in my lifetime. And for the next person that gets my yard, it's going to be their lifetime too. So I like daffodils a lot. Tulips are very pretty. But all things with beauty, there comes a little price. So we do have to protect them a little bit more. The Siberian squill that I talked about, or cilia, the deer and the rabbits won't bother that. Hyacinths, they won't bother. Crocus, they won't bother. Most of the bulbs, they won't bother. It's just a tulip, the one that everybody's after, the tulip, needs a little protection. And not only from animals that are going to bite off that flower for that sugar, but also for that squirrel, when he's got free time on his hands and he likes to do a lot of digging, sometimes he'll dig them up. Mm. And, of course, you can just replant them as soon as you see them dug up. But applying some of those things to keep them away helps by keeping those squirrels with free time from digging them up on you.
Nothing worse than a squirrel with free time.
Yeah.
That's asking for trouble.
And, you know, and I love squirrels. I even put out a squirrel feeder. I like squirrels.
They're fun to watch.
So I put up, they're going to dig a bulb or two. And if I catch it, I'll replant it. If I don't, no big deal. You know, we're talking about 50 cents or a dollar, you know, big deal.
As long as they're not getting in your attic or anything like that.
Yeah, so. True. Yeah,
Squirrels could be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
We have about 5 minutes left in the show, Bob. And our phone lines are still open. At 814-368-9372. We could talk about bulbs or we could talk about whatever you'd like.
I want to talk about a story. It's a real short story.
Here we go.
Okay. About the guan tassel tree in South America. It's a fruit tree. And it once relied on a giant sloth over 10,000 years ago, 11,000, 12,000 years ago. That was a huge mammal, 20 foot tall, weighed 3 tons. They would eat that fruit, carry it away from underneath the tree and deposit those seeds, and that tree could continue to have new trees. Once the giant sloths disappeared, the tree started to disappear. Now there was a few remaining, and all of a sudden the cavalry came to the rescue. The conquistadors, when they started going into South America, they brought horses. Well, the horses ended up, they liked the fruit too. They were the only other animal that liked the fruit. They started eating it and depositing it other places. So that's the reason we still have the guan tassel fruit.
Because of horses.
Because the cavalry.
Neat.
Yeah. Just an interesting story. I like sometimes those... animals or plants or something that we've imported mm-hmm. into this country can be beneficial.
Yeah.
Not all of them are evil. Some of them can be beneficial.
Great. We have a couple minutes left in the show. I have a couple questions, actually.
You bet. Okay.
I have my bushes by the garage, and I have the same kind of bush. They're getting berries this time of year.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
And I never noticed this before, and I don't know if this is why I have them, but I have a ton of flies in those bushes.
Ah, okay.
Does that have anything to do with the berries?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because all berries are going to have some sugar in them, especially as they ripen. When they first start getting produced, all berries, all fruits are full of acid. So nobody will touch them until that fruit has matured and the seeds inside have matured. Then they start reverting that acid into sugars. And, of course, sugars will attract bees and flies. And so then we start to see them.
Okay. All right. And then the other question is, under the same bush, I noticed just yesterday a bunch of little white mushrooms popping up.
Yeah.
Do I need to be concerned with that, or should I just let them die out? Or?
Yeah, don't be concerned at all about that.
Okay.
That means a lot of composting, that process is taking place in your ground. The mushrooms underground, they produce what they call a mycelium, and it eats up a lot of the plant material that's on the ground, fallen leaves, your mulch, so on, eats it up, converts it into food for your plant. So it's just a natural process. You know, you see fungus all over the woods. Most fungus, there are some that are signs that a plant is dying, but most of them that we see in our yards are beneficial.
Okay, good. I was worried that maybe they're going to, you know, infect the bush or something
You
know. So no. Okay, great. Well, we're about out of time here today,
Bob. Oh, geez.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun. But hey, we'll be back next week, and we have a couple more shows left, right?
That's about it. Yep.
The last week of October, right?
Is
the last one we do. So what is that? The 30th.
Yeah.
Halloween is on a Sunday this year. I'm looking at the calendar. Okay. It's my birthday.
You got your outfit ready?
That's why they call me Igor. Yeah. I'm wearing my mask right now.
All
can't you tell? So, we'll have a couple more shows, and we'll prepare for the fall, and looking forward to having you back again next week, Bob. Thank you.
You bet.
And this is The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith Hardware. And this is B107.5 FM. Have a fantastic day.